too complicated.
Okay, here we go. We're in the Rambam Hilchos Meiser Sheni, Perek Vav, Chapter 6, Halacha Zion, Law Number 7.
Page 553.
Okay, thank you. Oh, where's all the good treats from?
Next door.
No, I don't want any. I have to stay away.
Marriage class, Rabbi.
To keep the husbands happy, while the wives tell them what they're doing wrong.
Okay, we're going to now talk about situations. We've been talking already. Last halacha was about the dream, if you remember. Can we believe a person when he's saying, suggesting it is belonging to Meiser Sheni or not? That's the next couple halachas. Zion. Ha'omer Levanav. A man says to his sons, he's saying, listen, boys, filu atem mesim. Even, you know, I'm not going to be here forever, man. Or let's say you just decide to raid the kitchen cabinet, whatever, but... Even if you're dying from hunger and you really need this, al tigu bezavizu, don't you dare touch what's in this corner. Uh-oh. Now, I don't know if it's it could either be money or it could be fruit, whatever, but don't touch the stuff that's in this corner. And venimtza shamos, and they find some money in the corner. Okay, now, here's the question. The father said, don't you dare touch it. What was he meaning, don't you dare touch it? Okay, it could mean, this is Meiser Sheni stuff. This is holy stuff over there. So stay away from it. He didn't say it, though, right? He's just saying, don't you touch it, no matter what. So, and let's say the father dies, whatever, or whatever the situation is, or they see some money over there in that corner. Hare eluchul, and we assume they're mundane and not holy. We assume the father was just trying to trick them. Whoa. Okay, even though it would appear he isn't trying to trick them, but if it really was money of Meiser Sheni, then all he had to do was say it's money of Meiser Sheni.
So since
he doesn't say it's money of Meiser Sheni, not. Well, let's take another case first. Okay. What if Toman Mos Bifneim? What if he hides money in front of them? Vamer Lahem, and he says the following. Now he's saying the following: Shel Ploni Hin, they belong to somebody else, or Shel Meiser Sheni, there is Meiser Sheni. Now the Rambam says it depends. We have to size up the father. What do you think he meant when he said that? So Im Kim Marim, if it seems like he's trying to trick them. Either by trying to show that I'm really not as rich as you think I am, boys, because this really belongs to Meiser Sheni, belongs to somebody else, whatever. Then we don't concern ourselves with his words, and we assume it's his and it's chulin, and that's all. But vim kimiskam, but it appears that he merely meant it, that it's either belongs to someone else or Meiser Sheni. Then dvarv kaim, we have to go with the father's words, and we don't touch it. Now, what's your question?
I just wondered whether if he normally puts Meiser Sheni in that corner. He's done it before.
Well, if he's done before, then we have reason to
say it. But the kids know that that's again, the Meiser Sheni corner.
Well, that would seem that it would be more likely that it is.
Well, why are we second guessing what a father says directly?
Because they don't always make it clear. He says, just don't touch it.
He didn't say that.
No, he said it's Meiser Sheni.
But maybe he's trying to trick them. He's just trying
why
to show.
Why would a father try?
Because a lot of people don't want people to think they're very rich. And then, so your kids with big blabbermouths. Right? Father, look, Dad, look at all that money. That's not my money. I owe it to, it's Meiser Sheni, it's something else. A lot of times people don't want to let out how wealthy they are. That's not unusual. In this world, in this country, in this age, everyone wants to let out how wealthy they are. Right. But normal, smart people won't, because you're going to get burglarized.
What's the relevance of whether they're dying or not? What is that phrase?
He's just saying, no matter how badly you need it, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Even if you really need it, don't touch it. Okay, now, this is just an interesting halacha here. Hamotzi kli, you find a utensil, let's say a box, and there's some stuff inside. It could be food, it could be money, whatever. Well, it'll depend on the case, but generally food. For cost of 11, written on it is just an initial, mem. There's a mem written on it. So what does that mean? So we assume, harimashi basoch, we assume what's inside is Meiser Sheni.
Whoa.
It's Meiser Sheni. Now, of course, you're going to say, wait a minute, maybe it's Meiser Risha. Yeah. Maybe it's Meiser Oni. Well, no, we don't have to worry about that, because what do we know about Meiser Risha and Meiser Oni if we're not sure about it? It's allowed for non-Kohanim to eat it. Yeah, so you wouldn't have to write anything on it. And if you're going to say, well, maybe it's Trumas Meiser, then he would have written Tuf Mem. So if it's just got a Mem, we assume it's Meiser Shani. What if you find on top of the box a Dalid is written on top of it? Then we assume it's Dmai. Questionable. What if there's a Tess on top of it? No, Tevel, which is close. Tevel. Well, there's a Tuf on top. Stands for Truma. What about a Kuf? Kuf stands for the word Korban, although it's not going to be an animal over here, but it means consecrated. It means it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, but not the utensil, only what's inside. But wait a minute, in that last case of consecrated, but if the box was made out of metal, meaning it was valuable, the box was valuable itself, then who, what's the box? Umash bezocha, and what's inside Korban is considered consecrated, because that already has a value. It says that the value would consecrate the whole thing. Now, why in the world are people writing letters over here and not writing words? Rambam explains, Shekeno yukosin os achas min Hashem v'shasa sakana. Because in times of religious persecutions, they didn't want the police thinking, oh, what's this meiser doing? Just write a mem. That's your, what did you write for? Well, just, you know, mem for my first name, Mikey, you know, whatever. Anyway, so that's what. So again, although it's only letters, it's still, we can interpretate whatever, what it's supposed to mean.
If you help yourself to some money from your push good home, is the same idea? It's going to tzedakah. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you anymore.
Well, how can you do that? You're in a Rambam for that. Okay. I'm just saying, if you put money in the sucker box, you already gave it. You already gave it, right?
I never did it.
Okay, Tess.
You were just thinking about
it. Right, what happened?
You have a friend.
You have to go across. For some reason.
And you can't borrow from your own tzedakah box?
Somebody's got to go across.
Yeah, I know there's a setting.
Well, you'd have to put an IOU in there.
Yeah.
Put an I owe me. I owe God.
Okie
dokie. What?
Vertical.
But at least the tzedakah box can't charge you interest.
Okay, let's go on to Tess. Now we're going to talk about in Tess and in Yud. If you find money in Yerushalayim, what's the likelihood that it's Meiser Sheni money or not?
Depends when you find it.
Okay. Now, Mos HaNimtzos Yerushalayim. If you find money in the ancient city of Yerushalayim, and we're going to add in right now, not during the holiday seasons.
Off-season.
Now, even though what you find looks very much like something that would usually happen when somebody exchanges and redeems Meiser Sheni, because there's different denominations, different types of coins. Sometimes you have the money that you switch and you got to switch it again. And even though it looks like there's a bunch of different denominations, and it could very well be a typical case of Meiser money with what you switched it with. Even if you're going to have golden coins with silver coins and copper coins and they're all together, and we assume they're all not consecrated. Why? Since they clean the streets of Yerushalayim every day.
That's a Gemara.
And therefore, we assume that whatever you found was something that was left today. And today, in the middle of January, there's no Yomim Tovim, and nobody's coming with Meiser Sheni.
Nope.
People come with Meiser Sheni money for during the holidays. They don't make a special trip to Yerushalayim. No. Now, what if you find even during the nine high season? Matzah besoch and cheres. Let's say you find a shard in the bag with the money, and on the shard it writes Vekosovo Meiser.
Whoa.
It's written Meiser, that's kind of giveaway. Hare Elu Meiser Sheni. Then we can assume that is Meiser Sheni. And when do we say that this halacha, going back on the first part of the halacha, but Meiret Varmer, we assume that general money is not Meiser, Bishar Yemos Hashana, in the regular off season times of the year. But on a holiday, Hakol Meiser, even everything is Meiser, even if it's not written on the part on the shard that it's Meiser, we assume everything's Meiser because the place is flooded with Meiser. Now let's take another area in Yerushalayim.
So what happens to this found money then?
Well, as the laws of whatever the laws of Hashem is made it would be, if it's something to return, we're assuming it's something that you don't have to return.
Right.
Because if you have to return it, you return it regardless.
So it's money.
What?
You could use it to buy food.
You could use it to bet on horses. Whoa. Whatever you want.
It's Meiser Sheni. Don't you have to use it? It's not Meiser Sheni.
If you find it on a holiday, then it's Meiser Sheni. Then you got to use it for Meiser Sheni. Then just buy food. Okay, now another special place in Yerushalayim, Yud. Mos hanimtzos lifnei socher ibehem Yerushalayim. What do you find? Money right in front of the people who sell animals that in Yerushalayim, that those are sold for korbanos. So la'olam, always, no matter what time of the year you find it, we assume it's Meiser. Why do we assume it's Meiser, Shane, in the middle of January? Because Shecheskas, the assumption is, Rova am, most people, mevim most Meiser, they use their Meiser Shaney money to, as they say, kill two cows with one stone. Vakonim bo behemis, you buy behemis. Because Meiser Shaney, well, if I'm there already, I might as well have to buy a cow, an animal, Corbin, why can't you use your Meiser Shaney money? So therefore, we assume all year long, it's Meiser Shaney, because that's the majority of money would be. Now, what if you find Vanim Tzos Bahar Abayis? What do you find money on the Temple Mount? Chulin. La'olam, all year long, even in the middle of the holidays, Chulin, we assume it's mundane. What? Mundane? Yes. The reason like this. Number one, we know you're not allowed to go on the Temple Mount with your money belt. So people are not coming with my, even though you have a lot of Meiser Shaney money, you'll leave it in a little locker. You do not go onto the Har Abayis. You're not allowed to. So then what's the money doing there? Oh, that money maybe came from the Gizbar. The what do you call it? The treasurer.
Yeah.
Where the treasury is on the Temple Mount. Could be one of the treasurers came and now had to take it out and it was redeemed already. Shechaskasa mitrumas halishkan. We assume that money that comes from the treasury, shechilum is gurabarim, that the treasurers have de-sanctified it, al behema on an animal. So we assume it's non-Kodesh money that came from the Gizbar. Okay, that's the end of the Yerushalayim halachas.
So if you find that you can't take it, you have to assume it belongs to the treasury.
Well, it depends.
It's identifiable.
It could be someone redeemed it.
It's redeemed already. It's cool in money.
It's redeemed.
Well, it's cool, I get that. But who actually owns the money? Is it
must be the treasurer or something.
Because nobody else can bring money up there, so therefore you have to assume any money there you can't keep.
Shechilulam hagizborim. Well, maybe they. Okay, could be. Could be. Maybe you have to give it back to them. Could be.
How would he, what? You think, I, what does Ayin Dalet say?
He's talking about something else there. We assume. He's saying what the Ram didn't write. But at the end, he says a person does not go up with his money belt. Person doesn't come up at all. So we assume it came after it was redeemed, right. So it's chulin.
It's chulin.
But if you know who it belongs to, you'd have to give it back to who it belongs to. Exactly.
So
okay.
If you're digging in the ground in Israel nowadays and you find a box that says mice or a tumor or whatever, since there's no Beis HaMikdash, can you just keep it or do you have to give it back to for a donation or something?
It's still holy.
Just buy food in Jerusalem with it, Howard.
Well, I don't know if we can still do this once there's no
Beis HaMikdash.
Once there's no Beis HaMikdash, we'll see. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that.
But it doesn't belong to you anyway. So the question is, what do you do with it?
Okay, when it happens, Howard, you call me.
Going on a dig. Listen, you can send your kids on a dig in Israel. They find a coin.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody found a gold coin.
Yes. Okay, Yud Aleph. Now, Teva, a box. Shnishtamish ba, that it's used to store sometimes chulin, mundane food, or money, and sometimes umayser sheni. Okay, and today, v'nimtzu b'socha mos, you find some money in it. Now the question is, what kind of money was in there? So we say the following. Im rov manichim meiser, if most people put money in there, and that's meiser money, most people who put things in this box put money in there, hare hamos meiser, we assume that the money is meiser. We go with the rov over there. Even though, let me get the right one over here. Hare Hamos Meiser. Even though, if you think about it, think for a minute, what percentage of money is more, Chulin or Meiser?
Chulin.
Yeah, because Meiser is only 10%. You're only dealing from a smaller pool to begin with, right? While chulin is much bigger. So even though there might be a greater preponderance of money that's chulin, but if most people put in there, we assume it's meiser. However, Vimrov manich in chulin. If most put in chulin, we assume it's chulin. Now here's the interesting trick here. Mechzel mechzel. What's half and half? So now we go with the chulin. Why do we go with the chulin? Because now we go back to that point that says the majority of money, even if half and half means half amount of people, but still a half amount of people, but more money is chulin money than non-chulin money, so therefore we treat it like chulin money. Okay, yud beis. Now here's another situation. Matzah peros, you got three piles of fruits here. Your matzah peros, you see peros over here in the middle here. And it's situated, bein peros meiser, here's a pile of meiser fruits, la peros truma, and here's peros of truma now, not chulin, truma. Okay, now, and the commenters explain the following. So we're going to wonder, what about this stuff in the middle? So this is where we have to learn the case here. And you saw that there was somebody who was coming to put some stuff, some fruits, into one of the two piles.
Three, isn't that three piles?
No, there were two piles originally, Truma and Meiser. And you saw somebody coming to bring some, but whatever reason, he never went to get to the place, and they slipped over, and now it's in the middle. So now the question is, if the guy was putting a new bunch, either he was putting Meiser or Truma, because here's a pile of Truma, here's a pile of Meiser. Guy's coming to build, and some fell out. Now you see a few fell out. Question is, what's going to be the status of that? So we say like this. We say, Yiplu Lakorov. It goes to the one that is closer. Whichever ones the fruits are closer to, we assume it's that. Now, the commentators quickly tell us that it was the way I explained it to you, or the commentators rather, and not the following. Well, maybe the wind blew. Maybe it's a case where there were two piles, and maybe some wind blew from the other. Well, that won't be, because the Rambam's, remember, there's a rule now. If you're not sure about something, you have one thing called korov, closer proximity, but it's another variable. What's that? Rov, majority. Rambam did not say you go with the pile that's bigger. He said with whatever's closer. In other words, let's have a pile, let's say, of 200 apples of Meiser and 100 apples of Truma. And now you got some apples in the middle. Well, on the one hand, we can say there might be two variables here. Yeah. One is Karov, which is it closer to? The other one is, what's the majority? Well, we can't say that the case is the second way I explained it, where we're just worried which fruits in the middle fell from which pile. Because the Rambam would not say you go with the closer one, because the Rambam's opinion in such a case, you go with the Rove. And that's not what the Rambam says over here. No, so that can't be the case. The case has to be where something's coming from outside of these two piles. What's coming from outside of these two piles, then we just go with what it was closer. Because we assume that that's where he wanted it to go, or maybe he did put it there and then it fell off afterwards. Now, what about mechza la mechza? What if it's right down the middle? It's equidistant between the two piles. Well, you know what you're going to do? Yochlu mechichum reshem. You eat it, but with all the chumras of both. You have to eat it with the stringencies of it being truma, and with the stringencies of being meiser.
How can you eat it with truma?
You have to treat it both ways. And we're going to explain. For example, on the one hand, in three ways, you have to treat it like truma. Number one, asur mazorim. First of all, a non-kohen can't eat it. Yeah. Number one. Number two, utu'unim rechitzas yadayim. You have to wash your hands. Because your hands are a sheni tuma, and that would make truma tummy. That's why we wash our hands for bread. So you have to do that. Even if it might be mice, we have to consider it might be truma. And number three, v'harav shemesh ketruma. If you were tameh and you went to the mikvah, when's the earliest you can eat it? When the sun goes down. So those are the three ways we have to be strict as if it's truma. So only a kohen's going to eat it, only after he washes his hand and only after he's gone to the mikvah. But on the other hand, we give the kohen the stringencies of it being mice or sheni. And what are we going to add on to that? Vasurim la'onin. First of all, an onain cannot eat mice or shading, although an onain could eat truma.
That's true.
So now if the coin's an onain, he can't eat it. Utu'unim avos malkam kamaiser. It has to be eaten only in Yerushalayim as Meiser Sheni. So let's see now. It's been boiled down to only a Kohen can eat it in Yerushalayim after he washes his hand and has gone to the mikvah as required, and he's not an onain. Okay, that's what we have. Now, the same thing we said about all this, v'chein, and similarly, if we have the scenario, not money of truma and meiser, but hamos hanimtzos bein chulin l'meiser. If one pile was chulin, and one was Meister Shaney, will say the same laws. In other words, if the guy was bringing a pile and we don't know where he put the pile, we're going to go with what's closer. And if it's equidistant, then you give it obviously only the chumras of Meister, because there's no chumras by chulin. Okay, Yud Gimel. Let's see if we can finish the parak, maybe. Meister Shaney shel Demai. You have Meister Shaney that came out from Demai. Person bought Demai from a Levi, and now he's separating Meister Shaney. Right? Right? Vishel Vadai, and now you got Meister Shaney from someone who's a Chaver. Right? Shini Sarvu. They got mixed up. So what are we going to do now? And Yeyochlu Kechomersham. You have to eat them with the stringencies of them. And obviously, it's the stringencies of the Meister Shaney, which again is not eaten in a state of aninus. Because Meister Shaney is easier than that, because we were lenient. We have certain leniencies from the Demai one. Yeah. We give it all the stringencies of the regular Meister Shaney. Okay, now this next one is a little trickier. Yud Dalid. All right. Now, Peros Meister, Shinis Arvu, Beperos Chulin. You have Meister fruits that are mixed up in totally Chulin fruits, and we're speaking this happened outside of Yerushalayim, and there's not enough for one to be nullifying the others. So it's a total mix-up over here. So now, how do we have to treat this? Ye'echol ha'kol ba'tahara. Number one, you can only eat in a strait of tahara. And where can you eat it now? Ba'makom, in its place, meaning where in Yerushalayim, right? If you now have brought it into Yerushalayim, if it's in Yerushalayim, but what if you didn't bring it into Yerushalayim? Oh, yiftas a meiser, or you could redeem it, but you have to redeem all of it.
Not just the meiser portion.
That's right, because you don't know. So you got to redeem all of it.
So
right?
If you knew how much meiser there was beforehand, let's say there was 100.
Well, then you could probably do a
100. You can do that old trick that we said.
The three-way thing.
Yeah, the three-way deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lefikach, therefore, let's get a little trickier now. Based on this rule that Meister has to be in Yerushalayim, Im Nisorva, let's say it all got mixed up in Yerushalayim already. Meister, Paris, and Chulin. All right? Now we've got a big issue over here. Can you redeem it?
No.
Can you take it out of Yerushalayim?
No.
And let's say you have enough, you have a thousand of Chulin and one of Meister, and they got mixed up.
No.
Asurin b'chol shehen. It's usher no matter what the percentage. Kaminian, like something that's counted is not bottle. And why is it so? Because remember, even though normally we could sometimes nullify things, but there's a rule that some things cannot be nullified. And one of them is called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Something that you know will be permitted in a later date. In other words, if we just wait a day, for example, you know, this we did it on Sunday. An egg that's laid on Yontif.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say they've mixed into some other eggs. Even though normally it could be bottled, but just wait till the day after Yontif and you can eat the egg anyway.
Yeah.
So a davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that can be permitted later, we don't nullify. So over here, since it's in Yerushalayim, harehu kadavar sheyesh lo matirin, it's something that can be waiting on. Because what do you got to do? You don't have no problem. Just eat it all in Yerushalayim.
How long do you have to stay there? Eat all those.
Whatever. Or give it to somebody else.
Yeah, you have it after.
But you don't need to nullify it. Okay. It's in Yerushalayim. V'yechol ha'kol b'tahara, eat the whole thing in tahara. Wow. Which would not be the case if it mixed outside of Yerushalayim. Because outside of Yerushalayim, we don't call it a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why? Because you'd have to schlep it all to Yerushalayim, and that's not something that's a little thing to do.
No.
It's not like just eating it all. And therefore, you could nullify under those circumstances. Okay, two more small ones. Okay, let's finish. Hazareya, something you're not supposed to do, but he did it anyway. Hazareya Meister Shaney, the guy brings some Meister Shaney into Yerushalayim, and what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to eat it. What are you doing? Puts it in the ground and plants it. Not supposed to do that. After he comes to Yerushalayim, he plants some stuff. So HaGidulim, what grows out of that, is considered Meiser Sheni, even if the whole thing rots away and there's nothing left from the original thing, and it's a totally new thing. It's all Meiser Sheni, because once it came into the walls of Yerushalayim, you're supposed to eat it. And therefore, anything that comes out of that, it's considered Meiser Sheni. So however, what if Zera'o, Kodem, she goes, what if he planted it before he went into Yerushalayim, so it never got into the walls of Yerushalayim? Then HaGidulin Chulim, then what grows out of it is considered Chulim, okay? Because it's not,
pot?
Again, it's not like a Dover Sheishlo Matirim, again. You just plant, outside Yerushalayim, you just took some Maisha and planted it.
Oh, so you didn't come into Yerushalayim.
Va'filu b'dover shein zarakola, even if the plant does not totally get, rot. What do you call it, rots out, like an onion. But still in all, you're not off the hook, buddy. So now let's say now some new things grew. Now uponos, now you got to redeem the new stuff that grew bishas zriyoso at the time of the planting. It's got to all be redeemed. In other words, lechatchila, you should redeem it at the point of planting, because if not, then you're being mevatel isher lechatchila. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're going to plant it, you should really redeem it first.
But he says, HaGedulim Chulim. He says clearly HaGedulim Chulim. But you still have to pot it, you still have to redeem it, even though it's HaGedulim.
You have to, you should be poted before.
But let's say you didn't, and you planted it, it says HaGedulim Chulim.
I guess so. Lechatchila. Right. So Lechatchila, you should be poted before you're Zoreyed. But if not, it's Chulim. And the last.
You have a past when you do it two generations, so sometimes it loses its.
Yeah, well, we're talking about one generation here. Tezayin. Final halacha, even though we just said Meiser Sheni's not batel in Yerushalayim, we'll show an exception to the rule. Meiser Sheni batel barov will be batel the rov Meiser Sheni, be'eza Meiser, and what kind of Meiser? But Meiser Shenichnas, listen to this wild case here. But Meiser Shenichnas Shalayim, you brought the Meiser Sheni into Yerushalayim. Very good. And guess what happens? The yotze, you took it out. Now that's bad. That's really bad.
It's already bad.
Now really, you're supposed to bring it back in. But great. Look what happened in the interim. V'naflu mechitzos, Yerushalayim was destroyed. And the walls were now destroyed.
Oh, no.
Once the walls are destroyed, it's a very unique case now, because for reasons that he doesn't explain now, you're not allowed to bring them back into Yerushalayim if there's no walls anymore. And you can't redeem it. Sharei ein shom mechitzos lachshir l'sham. There's no walls to bring it back where it was from. And also, once you took it into Yerushalayim, you can't exchange it, even though you took it out. So now it's not a Dover Sheish Lo Matirim. That's not something that I can permit now. So now if that amount falls into a rove of Chulin, then we'll say it's nullified. We normally say not, because it's a Dover Sheish Lo Matirim. But here it's not a It's not. The afal pi she'ein bo shava pruta, even though the amount of redemptive value, Shelley, is not worth a pruta, which would then say maybe there wouldn't have been a problem at all by it being within the walls of Yerushalayim to begin with. Still in all, v'nimtza she'ein z'davar shelish matirim, it's not something that can be permitted afterwards, and therefore, batel barov, it is nullified in the majority, as we explained in the Hilchus Echulei Isurei Machalos.
Did you get lashes because you've taken the red?
No.
What?
I don't think so. I don't think. He never mentioned lashes. Okay, Shkayach. We finished the parak in 28 minutes.